I'm just gonna unmute this. I'll just put it here so I can give your voice. Okay. So first, could you just begin by speaking a little bit about yourself and the organization that you work for?
Sure. My name is Tucker Carlson. I'm 47 years old. I live in Washington. I host a show for the Fox News Channel every night at 9 p.m. It's every weeknight at 9. It's called Tucker Carlson Tonight. I've been in journalism for 26 years, since 1991. I went to St. George's in Trinity. I have hosted a bunch of different TV shows over the years. I was a print reporter for a long time, worked at magazines and newspaper, written a couple books, basically just journalism 101. Mm-hmm. That's what I've done.
Great. So what are your views on guns and gun control and all of that area of government?
My views on guns? I mean, mm-hmm. A gun is a tool. Mm-hmm. Like a hammer or a circular saw. It has a series of purposes. It allows you to, do certain things. I don't have emotional feelings about guns as objects, which may set me apart from a lot of people, any more than I do have strong emotions about screwdrivers. I mean, it depends what you do with them. I've hunted all my life. So I see the utility of guns in that way. I think as a political matter and a legal matter, guns are both, a powerful symbol of something and also an important tool to achieve a certain end. So, I think the reason that we have a Second Amendment, which has been, as you know, interpreted by the Supreme Court a couple of times recently, most famously in the Heller case, to mean an individual right to bear arms, the reason that's included in the Second Amendment and the Bill of Rights is as a backstop against government overreach. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Both practically and symbolically. Basically what the framers were saying is the people of the country have a right to defend themselves, but they also have a right to basically be independent. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to push people around if they're armed.
Mm-hmm. That was the point of it. And I think that's a point worth standing up for today.
Absolutely. So, you kind of just touched on this a little bit, but how do you interpret the Second Amendment, and specifically kind of that first clause that people always talk about, wondering if it's really an individual right or if it's kind of a state right?
Yeah, a corporate right, a group right. I interpret it in context. I mean, this was a country that had been a colony occupied by a larger foreign power, Great Britain, mm-hmm. and occupied by force. And armed people from another country kept the colonists in line, mm-hmm. and set down a series of rules that made them obey at gunpoint. I believe in Chairman Mao, who said, political power grows from the barrel of a gun, and that is true. Mm-hmm. In the end, people will do what you force them to do. Mm-hmm. And underlying all of this is the threat of violence. I mean, that's the truth. Mm-hmm. I pay my taxes because I'm a good person, but I also pay my taxes because it's the law.
Yeah.
And if I don't, the state's going to use violence against me. Mm-hmm. And that's true. They're going to come to my house and put my arms behind my back, put steel handcuffs on me, and bring me to a cell and keep me there. Mm-hmm. That's an act of force against me. Mm-hmm. So all power, in the end, grows out of force or the threat of force. Mm-hmm. And so when you have a country where, every person is capable of force, it puts the government in a different context. And it's a good reminder that, you can force people to do stuff up to a point, mm-hmm. but beyond that point, you can't. Mm-hmm. It's a free country full of free people. Mm-hmm. It's no accident that all of their authoritarian governments ban the private ownership of weapons. Why do they do that? To make the society safer? No. It doesn't make the society safer. They do it so they can tell people what to do with no limit. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason we have a Second Amendment.
Okay. So given the Second Amendment and that that's part of our Constitution, what regulation on guns do you think is even possible? Take, for example, Japan, where guns are banned.
Right.
Would that necessarily be possible here, given that the Second Amendment is a part of our Constitution?
It would not be possible, given the Second Amendment. Mm-hmm. It would not be possible. We'd have to change the Bill of Rights, and you could do that. Mm-hmm. There's a process by which you do that, alter the Constitution. But you'd have to. I mean, clearly, the courts over the last 200 years have interpreted the Second Amendment to allow reasonable curtailment of the individual right to bear arms. So, like, I can have certain kinds of guns, I can't have others. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't have a fully automatic weapon without a special license. I can't have a surface-to-air missile. I mean, there are, you know, there are restraints on that right, as there are on all rights. Mm-hmm. But they have to be reasonable. You can't prevent the population wholesale from having guns. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It would take a... Look, in practical terms, if you're asking me, like, what would happen if that someone attempted to do that, there are more firearms in the United States than there are people. There are about 325 million Americans. Mm-hmm. There are more guns. So what would actually happen is a civil war. And, you know, I think there's a sizable number of people who would not give up their firearms, and you would have to use force in order to get them, and that would, it would devolve into something very ugly. Mm-hmm. I don't think that would happen. I hope it doesn't. And I hope if it does, I'm not here to see it, because it would be awful.
Yeah, absolutely. So what is your opinion on proposed legislation to ban people on the terrorist watch list from buying guns, for example?
Well, I'm totally opposed to it. You're not allowed to take people's rights away without due process.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm against bad people having guns. We're all against that. Mm-hmm. But it's not enough for a politician to designate this person bad. Mm-hmm. What does that even mean? Mm-hmm. Just because you call it a terrorist watch list doesn't mean everyone on it is a terrorist. Mm-hmm. In this country, one of the linchpins of our freedom is the requirement that government prove guilt before administering punishment. Mm-hmm. I can't just say, I don't like anyone with, you know, red hair. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. I have to, like, prove you did something, mm-hmm. period. I can't, you, right? Mm-hmm. That's why we have courts. That's why I have a whole judicial branch. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure I'm the only person who feels this way, but I strongly feel that we shouldn't be taking anybody's rights away without proving them guilty mm-hmm. of violating the law. And not just on guns, by the way. If we had, you know, prohibited people from, on the terror watch list from flying on airplanes or voting or getting married or, you know, any of the rights that Americans have, I would say, whoa, wait a second, you know, are we sure they did something wrong? Can you prove it? If you can't prove it, then sorry.
Mm-hmm. So on that same kind of topic, what about previous legislation that has... banned people that are mentally impaired from purchasing guns?
Well, they have to be adjudicated. I'm totally for that. I don't think the mentally, I think the mentally ill forfeit their right to have a gun. I think it's in society's interest to keep crazy people from having guns. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course it is.
Yeah.
But you can't just determine that someone's crazy. I mean, there has to be a process through which the person is adjudicated formally mm-hmm. as mentally incompetent. I can't take control. Look, if you have Alzheimer's, mm-hmm. I can go to court and have control over your finances awarded to someone because you're not capable of administering your own finances, right? But I can't just say, hey, you seem crazy, I'm taking control of your checking account. Mm-hmm. You can't do that.
Yeah.
And any more that I could say, hey, there's a black guy walking down the street in my neighborhood, let's put him in jail because he's probably a criminal. What? Mm-hmm. That's immoral. Like, mm-hmm. we recognize that that's obviously racist and awful. Mm-hmm. It's not so different from making a snap judgment about somebody without proving it mm-hmm. and then punishing them on the basis of that judgment. Do you see what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So do you have any experience or firsthand kind of encounter with legislation related to gun control?
Yes. Not that I'm going to talk about on tape.
Oh.
No, I mean, look, yeah, I mean, I'll just put it this way. I live in a city where guns are banned.
Yeah.
So, you know, yes, I do. Yeah, I do. And I don't keep guns in the city because I'm not allowed to. Mm-hmm. But I also live in a city that had, you know, for many years, the highest murder rate in America, or one of them. And so, you know, I know a lot of people with firearms in D.C. They don't seek to hurt anybody. They're not breaking the law with the gun. Though the possession of the gun is itself a violation of the law, but they don't have guns because they're going to rob a liquor store or hurt anybody with it. They have guns for self-protection. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, I've seen a lot of that. I'm afraid to do that because I'm on TV and I can't, mm-hmm. you know, my life would fall apart if I got caught doing mm-hmm. something like that. But I certainly sympathize with people who break the law in order to protect themselves. I think that's a higher good. I do. I mean, someone comes into your house. I mean, I live in a really safe neighborhood. I'm not worried about it. But I know people who live in very dangerous neighborhoods here, and there's a risk that someone show up in your house in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. You know, assault your wife or, you know, hurt your children or hurt you. I mean, and how are you going to protect yourself? against someone who's armed? Mm-hmm. It's a real question. You know, I've covered a couple wars. I covered Katrina in this country, and I know what happens when some natural disaster breaks out or there's a conflict, a real conflict. The police are not coming to your house to protect you. Sorry. We imagine they are, but they're not. I've seen it. They're not. And so the onus falls on you to protect yourself and your family. How are you going to do that? You know, if you're comfortable doing it with a baseball bat or a hockey stick, okay. You know, but most people are not able to disarm an armed intruder with a hockey stick. Mm-hmm. I don't want to try. And so I deeply sympathize with people who have guns at home for self-protection. I think it's entirely legitimate, and it's not a threat to society at large. So I'm very offended by these blanket restrictions on firearm ownership, because the only people they benefit are people who sell illegal guns, because the price goes up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
If I'm selling, you know, if I'm in Maine or West Virginia or Wyoming, where, you know, we have liberal gun laws, you know, a 38 revolver cost me $400. But in Chicago or D.C. or New York City, where they're banned, I can make $1,500 off that mm-hmm. gun. So they benefit. Illegal gun sellers benefit. Who else benefits? Criminals have guns no matter what. They don't care. They're criminals. I'll tell you who loses is the guy who's, like, delivering bread to convenience stores at 3 in the morning in New York City. Or newspaper delivery. You know, people are out late at night with money on their proper, on their persons. Those people are at real risk for getting killed. And the fact that they're not allowed to protect themselves is very upsetting, I think. I mean, fine, make them get licensed, make them take a safety course, that's all fine. You know, I'm not against that. Mm-hmm. But don't prevent them from protecting themselves. What? Call the police? Really? The police are not going to save you.
Yeah.
I think it's cruel. And the other point I would make is that in cities where guns are banned, only two groups of people have guns. Criminals and the rich and powerful. In New York City, for example, where I've lived, I know a lot of people with gun permits. And you know what they all have in common? They're all rich and they're all famous. And they know someone at the police department where they can get their gun permit. So I work in TV. A lot of TV people in New York carry guns because they just go to the police chief and he's impressed. Well, I've seen you on TV. Here's a gun permit. But they don't really need them because they already have security. But what about the guy who's like running a liquor store in Queens at 3 in the morning? He needs a gun. Some Indian immigrant who's got a bunch of kids to feed. And that guy's at risk of being killed. And the city will not allow him to protect himself. It's totally unfair. And it's just another example of how these laws only help the people who don't need help, criminals and people who are already rich and powerful. Mm-hmm. It's very unfair, mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So what is your opinion of the NRA?
Well, I'm sure glad they're there. You know, I mean, fundamentally, they're standing up for a constitutional right. A vitally important constitutional right. I don't always agree with all of their priorities legislatively, but you know, I'm not as interested in the concealed carry stuff as they are. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that they provide, you know, shooting and hunter safety courses all over the country, which I really like. But I'm, you know, I'm glad that that somebody is standing up for a constitutional right. I really am. Mm-hmm. And by the way, they're pretty bipartisan. I mean, they, you know, they support a bunch of Democrats who are aligned on their issues. So I like the NRA. I know the guy who runs the NRA, Chris Cox, nice guy.
So what do you believe should be the limit on where and when people can carry guns?
Well, I mean, I think it's, you know, one of those issues that communities are probably best able to decide. I mean, I don't think you should ever ban all guns. I think that's just irrational. Mm-hmm. By the way, the politicians who push for that all have armed guards, I notice. I notice that a lot of people who are for taking everyone else's guns away don't want to take the guns away from themselves. Barbara Streisand has armed bodyguards, but she doesn't think, like, I'm allowed to protect my family? Like, how does that work exactly? Only you get to protect your family? What? So I think my family's every bit as important as the president's family, because I'm a Democrat, small D Democrat. Like, I believe in equality among people. I think my children are every bit as important as any senator's children. Mm-hmm. And I ought to be able to protect them every bit as effectively as any senator protects his kids. That's how I mean that. So I don't think they should be banned totally anywhere. However, I think we should be real and we should let common sense make some of the determinations. So obviously, if you've got 8 million people packed into New York City, you're going to have different gun laws, and you're going to want different gun laws than you have in Montana, which has one of the, you know, lowest concentrations of people per square mile in the country, or Wyoming or Maine or South Dakota. Rural areas are always going to have more liberal gun laws. And so I think communities should basically be able to decide for themselves what they want, you know, on a lot of issues, not just guns, but like on a lot of things. You know, I don't know if Mississippi and still has dry counties. Utah has all kinds of anti-smoking laws that other states don't have. Well, they're Mormon. They don't like smoking. Okay, that's fine. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And Las Vegas, you can smoke indoors. Yeah, it's Las Vegas. You know, they want to smoke indoors. Great. The same with guns. I sort of believe in people being able to live the way they want to live. It used to be called federalism. Mm-hmm. And I still kind of believe in that. I mean, same for strip bars. I don't want a strip bar in my neighborhood. But in Reno, you know, or Tampa, there's strip bars everywhere. They like strip bars. Okay, that's their thing. In my community, we can say we're not into strip bars. No strip bars here.
Mm-hmm.
And same with guns.
Absolutely. So do you think that the government can or should ban guns such as those with high-capacity magazines or so-called assault weapons?
I've done a million shows on this. I've interviewed a million lawmakers on this question. And the question I always ask is, what exactly is an assault weapon?
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with a lot of these gun laws is they're written by people who don't know what end the bullet comes out of. They just don't know anything about guns. You know, I'm not a gunsmith or a gun expert, you know, but I have a lot of guns. You know, I have more than 10 guns. I have a lot more than 10 guns. So I have some idea what guns are and how a revolver, you know, is different from a semi-automatic, and a carbine is different from a shotgun, and like, and they don't. So what they end up doing is passing laws that define weapons based on their cosmetic qualities. Well, if it's got this kind of stock, or it has this kind of flash suppressor on the end, or it has, you know, that doesn't mean anything. It's totally irrelevant. In other words, if a gun looks scary,
right, yeah.
And the classic one to me is, like, they don't understand anything about ballistics. So a gun that looks really scary, an AR-15, which is, you know, often written about as the scariest gun ever. I own a couple AR-15s, and I can tell you they fire one of the smallest. They fire a round that's so small you can't really deer hunt with it. It's a .22. Whereas the guns that you do deer hunt with, like a .308 or .30-06 or a .30-30, those are big rounds, man. You wouldn't want to get hit with one. That'd kill you. Dead. And yet those guns are fine. I'm always like, I just interviewed a congressman on this the other day. I was like, which would you rather get hit with? You know, an AR-15, which shoots a .223 or .556, whatever, not to get boring, but it shoots these rounds.
Yeah.
Is that scarier to you than a deer rifle? He's like, oh, much scarier. It's like, you don't even know what you're talking about. I do think that I would love to see actual social science on mass shootings. Something is going on. Mass shootings have increased dramatically over what they were when I was a kid, 35 years ago. Why is that? I don't think we really know.
Yeah.
I personally think that there are probably a lot of factors, but one thing that's changed a lot in my lifetime is the percentage of Americans who are taking psychotropic drugs prescribed by their doctors, either for anxiety or for ADHD. You know, it's a massively high percentage. And that stuff has effects on people and their behavior that we don't fully understand. And I'm not saying, you know, that antidepressant medication causes mass shootings, but I am suggesting we should look into that and other factors like that.
Yeah.
So to ban a certain kind of gun, it's mindless. I mean, in China, which has absolute gun control, you can't have a gun in China, they have mass stabbings.
Right, yeah.
You know, obviously a mass shooting is worse than mass stabbing, and guns do accelerate the carnage. There's no doubt about it. And a gun with a high capacity magazine, you're able to shoot more and faster. I get it. I mean, it's not all crazy. You know, I think you should use common sense, but the question is, why would someone want to do that? Why would someone want to kill a bunch of strangers?
Mm-hmm.
And we should take that question seriously. And I don't think we are taking it seriously, which is weird.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What the hell is this?
Mm-hmm.
Why would a kid, a perfectly healthy kid who doesn't have a brain tumor, shoot up a high school? What is that? That did not used to happen. I was here. It didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, whatever.
So you kind of just mentioned this a little bit, but America has this kind of out of control mass shooting rate that is just ridiculous as opposed to other countries, and particularly other countries where guns are regulated much more. And obviously in places like Japan where guns are banned, obviously you're not going to have as many mass shootings. But what do you make of the possibility that stricter regulation on guns would equate to a decrease in the amount of mass murders that we have in this country?
I would say two things. One, Japan is a very different country from the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Japan not only has fewer mass killings, it also has fewer rapes and robberies and Ponzi schemes, financial crimes. I mean, it has fewer crimes of all kinds.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of different reasons. You know, it's an entirely homogenous country, for one thing. Basically the same race, religion, language. And that tends to reduce crime. I mean, people, there's friction between different kinds of people. There always is.
Yeah.
Sorry. I know diversity is our strength and everything, but like in real life, it's more complicated than that. And there are other reasons, some of which we don't even understand. But anyway, it's not a fair comparison exactly. I would say, you know, France has very strict gun control, and you've seen a bunch of horrific mass shootings there.
Mm-hmm.
People determined to commit a mass shooting can do it as long as there are any guns in your society at all. And so what it would you could definitely end mass shootings tomorrow if you confiscated every firearm in the United States. But you can't.
Right. Obviously.
And so in the real world, how do we, you know, what do we do now that there are millions upon millions of carbines with high capacity magazines out there, you know, and you can't confiscate them. So I don't know, what do you do from there? Public policy has to exist in the real world.
Right.
I don't really know the answer, but there's something wrong culturally. And I don't know exactly what it is. And I'm not sure what you could do about it, but I just find the lack of curiosity about it really weird. I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a massive cost to mass shootings. Not only do a lot of people die, I mean, more people die in, you know, industrial accidents or slipping in the bathtub than die in mass shootings, but the cost is not only just the deaths, but it's the fear and the paranoia and the security everyone hires and the restrictions on freedom of movement that come into place, and everyone has to go through a magnetometer, and it's like it turns society into an armed camp. It's terrible for everybody. There are massive costs to that crap, and I wish we would think through why it's happening. But
So, kind of on that topic again, in light of events like Columbine or Sandy Hook or the Aurora shooting or any of those events, what do you think is the correct response? I mean, a lot of people seek out changes in legislature after that, but some people say that that's not the right response. So what do you think is the correct response in light of events like that?
What do I really think in my heart is the correct response?
Mm-hmm.
First, seek to understand why it's happening, as I've already said twice.
Mm-hmm.
Second, ignore it. I really believe that. I would never say it on TV, but I'm just telling you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, you can't live in fear. And you can't allow that to make you paranoid. And we know we're all going to die. And I'm not downplaying the tragedy of those events or how awful they are. I think they're really awful. And I also think long-term they're a threat to my gun rights, because at some point politicians are going to get so hysterical they're just going to do something. They're going to overcorrect. So they're bad in every way. But the truth is, like plane crashes, there's probably not a lot you can do to prevent it. I mean, you could not fly, not go outside. You can buy a bunch of your own guns and lock the door, but that's not living. So the way I would like to see us respond is, I'd like to see us respond to acts of terror the same way, is to kind of shrug it off and keep going. I do think that, and to live as if there's not much of a threat.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the courageous way to live.
Yeah. But in terms of like a response from the government, what do you think they should do when things like that happen? Do you think that there should be new regulations on guns based on mass shootings, or do you think
look, if there were regulations on guns that had a hope of preventing future mass shootings, I would love to know what they are. Mm-hmm. I've never heard one, and I've had this debate many, many times. We can ban this kind of gun because it looks this way, or it was used in the last shooting, or we can make it harder to buy ammunition. Okay. But a determined murderer will defeat every one of those precautions. There are billions of rounds of ammunition in circulation in this country right now. What do you do about that? I don't know. I'm not sure that there is. Look, the problem with a democracy always is it creates the illusion that you can solve every problem if you just have enough will.
Yeah.
And that's what the professional demagogues, not just on guns, but on every issue, global warming, name an issue. They're always like, if we wanted to fix this, we could fix it. Well, bullshit, actually. But a lot of problems are deeply resistant to being fixed because they're very complex problems whose roots we don't fully understand. So stop lying to me and telling me that there's an obvious solution out there if only we would buckle down and do it or pay enough or whatever the lie of the day is. Like, let's be totally real. How about this? I've been on a diet, on and off, for 20 years. And I'm still within in about 10 pounds of where I've always been. Because it's really fucking hard to lose weight. And yeah, we know how to do it. Okay. Yeah, well, okay, but I still eat donuts every once. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
In real life, it's really complicated to make things better.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to admit that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially politicians, because it's their bread and butter to lie that, you know, elect me, give me money, revere me like a god, and I'll fix all the problems. It's a hollow lie.
I totally understand what you're saying. I'm
sorry. Ooh, I used a bad word. I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's all right. It's fine. So finally, why do you think that this issue is so difficult to compromise on? I think that, obviously there are so many public policy issues that are seemingly impossible for Democrats and Republicans to find a middle ground on. But something about this issue, I think, is particularly partisan and really hard to find a middle ground on.
There are a bunch of reasons. The main reasons are cultural. And it's the root of a lot of our disagreements politically. People are divided by geography and culture in a way they never have been. Rural America has less in common with urban America than at any time in American history, probably. People have completely different assumptions about what life is and how it ought to be lived and their relationship to the state, and they have very little contact with each other. So in rural America, and I happen to live in rural America for 3 months every year, so I see it in Maine, up near the Canadian border, very, very rural area, and every person carries a gun. I mean, everybody has a gun. You get in someone's truck and there's a gun, like a loaded handgun, right next to the stick shift. And that's not considered weird or violent or in any way remarkable. People pull up to the gas station and leave a loaded gun on the seat of their car, and they don't think it's a threat. They don't think it's going to get stolen. And so they live around guns in a way that's totally different from someone who lives in New York City or Washington. By the way, the violent crime rate in rural America is incredibly low. And in other words, places with almost no gun restrictions have almost no gun violence, whereas places like Chicago, where guns are banned, have the highest murder rate on the continent. Or in this country, anyway. So rural America looks at this and says, wait a second, I've had a gun in my hand since I was 5 years old, and I've never hurt anybody and never will, and you're calling me a threat? Like, what? So people see it as a threat to their culture, as an attack on their culture, and they resent it very, very deeply. On the coasts, where I live most of the year, people look at the middle of the country with contempt and loathing and fear.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, you're basically medieval troglodytes, and you're racist, and you're stupid, and you're addicted to OxyContin, and you're fat, and you smoke cigarettes, and you're repulsive. and you have guns. And they just cannot relate to it in any way. They see guns as really, really threatening, you know? And they believe that the more guns there are, the more violence there is. So they're just basically looking at things from completely different perspectives. They don't understand each other. They don't seek to understand each other. So what you're really seeing in the gun debate is the larger clash between two different Americas. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. Guns are not associated with violence in rural America because there just isn't a lot of violence. And so their perspective is, well, you know, because a couple of, you know, criminal jerks in the big cities misbehave with firearms, I lose my right to go hunting? Are you joking? You know, and they really feel emotional about it. The last thing I would say is that anybody proposing gun control ought to apply those standards to himself. And so any president who says you shouldn't be allowed to have a gun should disarm the Secret Service. That's how I feel. Otherwise, what are you saying? Your life is worth more than mine? It's not. This is America. We're all equally valuable. That's what I would say.
Absolutely.
No one. So.
All right. Great.
Well, thank you. That was interesting.